And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rearwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman of conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Bootworkers, Lukianos of lukianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland, bringing us today's topic on toxic herbs and magic. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then we'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man. Miss Cat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Well, give us a weather report, both spiritually and meteorologically, from Omaha.
Cold. Freezing cold.
Freezing cold.
That's about it.
All right. We'll take it as news. Freezing cold in Omaha. That's the weather report. Okay.
There's not much movement.
Okay. Well, we're out here in California, and we woke up to winter fog, something that we haven't had as regularly as we used to due to climate change and global warming. But we had a lovely, sparkly, icy fog this morning. It's now quite sunny and very cold. So in other news, of course, so much has been happening in the world, but I wanted to just spend a minute talking about this show, the YouTube show, and how it's working and how it's going very well. I want to thank everyone who has made the transition from Blog Talk Radio, who's now in the live chat. Things are looking good. I'm seeing some of all my regular friends and people that I haven't seen in a while. So I don't want to shout everybody out because there's too many of you, but thank you for being here. We are tracking the upload of the archived shows at the Lucky Mojo forum. There's a special thread. It's called What's New, and it's in the board there. You'll find it. So we are putting up new shows regularly, one a day, we hope, we think. Our project manager for the new shows, Deacon Millett, is on holiday in Paris. So things are a little wobbly on the new show archive front, but we're getting through it. And that's it. Getting used to this new technology is not that hard. It's similar to Blog Talk Radio. It's just a different part of my screen. It's just a little different size, different icons. And since I'm very visually impaired, I have to have everything kind of where I can look right at it. So I'm getting used to where to look on this thing and how to set it up, but I'm feeling okay. It's not the technology, it's the visual for me. And before we bring in our co-host Conjureman and our guest Lukianos, I have to address something which relates to an earlier part of my life. I was a comic book editor for 26 years. And for those who go,
a very cool comic book editor, I'll just say.
That's right.
Thank you,
me and Kat nerd out over this every once in a while.
Yeah, well, you're just young enough to have been a fan of mine, and that's kind of cool. So, but now we're all on the same level, grown-ups. But people have been, kind of bombarding me. Did I know Neil Gaiman? Yeah, I know Neil Gaiman. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can just skip the next couple of minutes. Neil Gaiman is a fantasy author, started as a comic book writer. Prior to that, he was a freelance journalist. And prior to that, he was a professional Scientologist who ran a Scientology org in Sussex, England. And he was the son, or is, well, he's the son of two famous, well-known Scientologists who were known for their cruelty. And I had friends who were in Scientology, who had been sucked up into it shortly after leaving college, where I had met them. And they were also comic book fans. That's how I knew them. It's a small world. Comic book, science fiction, and fantasy fandom and Scientology were always mixed together because the founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, who liked to be called Master, was a science fiction writer. So this is a small world. It has had abuse in it before. You can look up Marion Zimmer Bradley and her husband, Walter Breen. My friend, who became a Scientologist, was actually being groomed by Walter Breen when I found out about it and called a halt to it and helped him get away from that grooming by Marion Zimmer Bradley and Walter Breen. So this is nothing new. Neil Gaiman, when I met him, was a Scientologist. He was married to a Scientologist. Her name was Mary. They lived in the U.S. He spoke to me continually about his suicidal feelings. He wept when he talked to me. I am enough older than him and have been sexually abused enough as a child by my stepfather that I knew he was manipulating a persona to show me. And I, being a fan of Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett, knew enough to keep my mouth shut and just listen. He was a writer for Miracle Man, taken over from Alan Moore, put in place by Alan Moore. His stories were dark. His attitudes were on the surface supposed to be sort of edgy goth, but they were actually very weird. And he also was writing, he'd done a thing called Violent Cases, and he'd done another one called Sandman, which was starting at that time. He had breakdowns and would tell me he couldn't write. He would have to fax me pages one at a time, weeping on the phone about his wife and about his sex life. There was all too much intimacy shared. I can tell you it was harrowing for me as a sexual abuse survivor myself to have this much younger darling of the comics world confessing and unloading on me for quite a while. And I went with it because I was told to by my husband, who was the owner with his brother of the company, which I had finally gotten some shares. They had let me finally get some shares of the company after I'd worked for them for quite a while. And I was in a sort of a, you know, a position here where I was going to have to play therapist to Neil Gaiman. That's what I know. And I could go into much more detail. I don't know that it's beneficial to anyone, but let me tell you all, if anyone wants to email me again, were you surprised? No. Did you know about this? Yes. End of story. Okay. Have I satisfied you, Conjurman?
You know, I'm going to call you afterwards.
You're going to call me afterwards. Okay. All right.
But yes, I am very satisfied.
I don't want to capitalize on this, but I just know that a lot of people who know me and know my history, there's so much more. Okay. There's so much more. And the one thing I will say this, if a man writes about rape, believe him. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and the way he sort of rebranded himself as like a feminist, but like the violence towards women in his stories, it's like it's all starting to make sense a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Scientology, they teach you how to listen to pages and pages and pages of disturbing words and until you have no reaction. Have you ever seen the TV series Severance?
Mm-mm.
I recommend it. In the series Severance, there's something called the break room. That is taken from Scientology, and it's very much almost exactly like auditing. So enough said. I can tell you I hung out with suppressive persons, but I never, that's anti-Scientologist, but I never told that to Neil Gaiman because I'm a very observant person, and I wanted to learn what was really going on, and I did. Okay, sorry for that. Now we're going to talk about toxic plants.
Somewhat fitting, somewhat.
Yeah, it's, really.
Boy, you know, I thought it was fitting, actually. So Conjurman, catch us up on what you're doing, and then let's get into toxic plants with Lukianos.
Yeah, no, I mean, this story has definitely captured, has been in part of my social circles for a little bit now. We've been chatting about it. But yeah, Southern California is still a little bit on fire, but things are starting to get contained. You can still sort of smell the smoke. And in the sunlight, the devastation is pretty bad. So, you know, if you can donate, if you can volunteer, everyone's who get involved, this is a great time to get involved. You know, the communities can definitely use it. Speaking of sci-fi, though, what's interesting is in the sort of darkness of this fire and the devastation of this fire, there is like a little glimmer, and that is that Octavia Butler is getting her due finally. And a lot of people are paying attention to the sort of brilliant work that she put out, particularly considering that in some of her writing, she talks about a fire that hits Altadena and Southern California. Right. And during the reign of a fascist whose slogan is let's make America great again, is actually like word for word for it. And it just reminded me of how a lot of science fiction writers, good science fiction writers that may not always get the credit that where it's due, do have some kind of oracular ability, whether it's sort of an analytic approach to it, that they look at society and then they kind of gaze 10 to 20 years in the future and go, okay, this is how it's going to look like 20 years from now. Or they're actually tapping into spirit. In either case, really good science fiction eventually stops looking like fiction with enough time passed. So, you know, people have been talking about Neil Gaiman, but I do want to mention Octavia Butler in a little bit of a more positive light in the science fiction world.
And another case in point, Philip K. Dick, who predicted that the Embarcadero Freeway would be torn down. Mm. I mean, you just go, how could he do that?
But yeah, right.
So, all right. Well, I just got reminded by Nagashiba, I got to give the winners. So the winner for last week's Hoodoo Psychics Magic Monday, this is a free 15-minute reading, won on January 14th, and this was LaFlora Marisol. So LaFlora, come on down and get your free reading. I just had somebody call me who had won a free reading for the week before, and it was lovely to meet her. And free readings are given away every week by Hoodoo Psychics at their Facebook page. You can also sign up at their Instagram page. And the winner for the Lucky Mojo Facebook Fridays contest this last week was Miss Michael's author special, two books, Hoodoo Bible Magic and Sneaky Tricks. And there were three winners. They were Chris Lopez, Donna Mitchell, and Laura Kresh. And they've been messaged. Come and claim your free books. So that's it. Okay, let's say hi to Lukianos, how are you doing?
Welcome.
Well, good afternoon. Nice to be with you all today. Thank you. And, well, there's snow falling from the sky here in the DMV. So, yeah, right there with you, Papa Newt. It's cold out there.
So for all of those listening to this show from Europe, the DMV is Delmarva. And Delmarva is Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia.
Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia.
Virginia, right. So we speak in code sometimes to our foreign listeners. You brought us the topic of toxic plants, toxic herbs. So we're going to let you start off with it. I'm just going to bring in one little bit of an introduction. In my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, I did try to note which plants were toxic, but I didn't make a big deal about it. I wanted people to be aware that not every herb used is safe. So having said that, let's let you take the stage and talk about the poison path, the toxic herbs.
Well, thank you, Miss Kat. And this topic is one which has definitely gained some additional visibility in recent years, talking about the poison path. But I think it's fair that we should recognize that plants are not you know, just salads growing out of the ground, waiting for something to come by and have them for dinner. Plants defend themselves, and some plants have come up with very novel and frankly, effective and deadly ways of protecting themselves. So we should not be surprised that many plants, even plants that we may eat ourselves, may be toxic under the right set of circumstances, or there may be parts of them that are toxic. And it just really, given that they are so intrinsic to hoodoo and root work in the Americas, it really behooves us to go in with open eyes and learn about our materials and not just think of them as something, oh yeah, I get that in a packet from somewhere, and no, I don't really know where it comes from, but you know, I just, you know, I dress my candles with it and that's all I need to know. Well, for some things that may indeed be all you need to know. But for most of us, if you're getting deeper into your practice, if you're, you know, maybe needing to do some harsher types of work, you may find yourself needing some allies that they themselves are harsher. And if you don't know how to treat them correctly or with respect, you may find yourself doing as much damage to yourself as you are your intended target. So all of that being said, I thought I would open up by talking about everyone's favorite, you know, large family of toxic plants, the Solanacea family, otherwise known as the nightshades, and that's how I'll refer to them just as a general category. And I will say that the Americas have a wealth of native Solanacea species, and they have a rich history in the Americas and in our present day as food, as medicine, and yes, as magic. Now, it should not be surprising, you know, that they feature prominently in hoodoo and other magical systems in the Americas, whether that's Bruja or Quenandismo or any of the systems of magic that have come out of the Americas. Scratch not too deeply, you will find nightshades in there somewhere, almost guaranteed. And, you know, to be fair, there are plenty of nightshade species that are native to Europe and have, you know, their own histories of use in, you know, European spell work and preparations, flying ointments made with the likes of belladonna, henbane, European mandrake, well-storied, well-studied. But a lot of these European species are not as commonly used in hoodoo practice. So I'm really going to try to focus on those Solanacea species that are native to the Americas and which are, in fact, most commonly used in hoodoo practice. And to start out, we will start out in the kitchen with our friend, the red pepper and the chili pepper. These are not only used culinarily, but they are very commonly used to heat a work up, to drive people away, to cause dissension and discord. They can be used in aggressive works for boundary setting, fiery wall of protection types of work. And, you know, I think there's a certain level of familiarity in handling. Most people know that you shouldn't touch your eyes if you've been cutting up chili peppers. And if you don't know that, you'll figure that out pretty quickly. Most people will. You know that if you get, you know, components of the seeds or the peppers on your mucous membranes, you're going to be in a world of pain. And in harsh works, that is exactly what you want. But yeah, if you're cutting up chili peppers, maybe you're going to wear the latex or the nitrile gloves. Maybe you're going to, you know, be very careful about what you touch with your hands after you've been processing them. Maybe you're going to make sure that you wash your hands well with soap and water. I mean, the same types of precautions that you would take in handling and processing chili peppers, This extends to your dealings with all types of poisonous plants. And, you know, with some plants, you'll know right away that you've stepped wrong with them. In other cases, you may not know till you, say, go out in the sunlight and suddenly your hands start swelling up and turning red. What happened? Well, you were cutting up citrus, and those citrus have oils which can photosensitize your skin. You just walked out in the sun and stayed out there for a while because you didn't think anything of it, and, well, now your hands are in a world of pain. So again, even something as non-toxic to ingest may have topical toxicity if you're not aware about it, not thinking about it, and not working clean. And that's another thing I want to emphasize. When you're working with these plants, you want to be working clean. You want to be knowing what you're coming in contact with. You maybe want to wear some protective barriers to keep yourself from coming in contact with certain components or admixtures. And from a spiritual point of view, you also want to make sure that you cleanse yourself spiritually after you've been working with them and after you've been deploying with them. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. So having talked about our friend the red pepper, which I'm sure most of us have probably used at one point or another in something, let's move on to another member of the Solanacea family. And this is tobacco. Tobacco is considered a master plant in many systems of working. You'll find it often used for works involving domination and commanding. It is considered a plant that can command other plants and make them do what you're requiring them to do. And likewise, you can also use tobacco in works to command people and spirits. So it's a very versatile plant. It's a very powerful plant. And it's a plant you should treat with respect because, as we also know, its nicotine component is seriously addictive. And ask anyone whether it's harder to kick heroin or cigarettes. Most of them will tell you it's harder to kick cigarettes. So think about that. So other things that tobacco can be used for, it can be used to facilitate communication, usually in a sense of so-and-so, you need to respond to me. And you know the old time classic would be to put some tobacco in the mailbox, you know, to demand a letter back. Obviously there are ways that you can blow tobacco smoke in their direction and tell them to, you know, contact me. You know what you need to do. You can also use tobacco to set boundaries. So even as you can command things to come to you, you can also command things to stay the hell away. And it's also notable that nicotine itself also has a material use as a pesticide. You can soak a cigar in water, and an old-time organic gardening thing would be to take that water, put it on the roses to control aphids.
Absolutely. It's very good for that.
Absolutely. It still works. And there are also concentrated nicotine compounds, which are used as pesticides. And beware, because nicotine is absorbed very readily through skin and mucous membranes, and it's a lot easier to overdose on it than you might think. It'll start with nausea and vomiting and sweating, and it can definitely progress to a much more serious seizure and coma. And there also is going to be a lot of individual tolerance. And that's, you know, going to be based not just on body weight, but also on what the person's history of exposure is. If they're, you know, someone who smokes 3 packs a day, they're going to have a higher tolerance than a 6-year-old who hasn't been exposed to nicotine or tobacco at all. So definitely be aware of that. Now, moving on from tobacco, we come to a large and storied set of species within the nightshade family, and those are the Datura's and the Brugmansias. And technically, Brugmansias is a separate genus from Datura's, but for a while they were considered as one, so I'm going to consider them all together. And that's because a lot of them contain many of the same anticholinergic tropines. This includes atropine, this includes scopolamine, this includes hyoscyamines, and these may exist in different mixtures or proportions in the plants, but they're all kind of operating on that same spectrum. And so pretty much all of these will have delirium-inducing, sporific, and in higher doses, even convulsant actions. And these are definitely plants to be treated with respect.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes comment, especially about something like Jimson weed, which is Datura stramonium. It's like, yes, stramonium has many sites it would like to show you and trips it would like to take you on. Unfortunately, all of them go to hell. Every single one of them.
I can speak as someone who actually was, I guess you could say, dosed with, dosed with. And it took me about 2 weeks to come back to the earth plane in a non-fearful state. Mm-hmm. It had very long-lasting side effects. It it was very, very wrong. The person who did it to a number of people as a joke, right?
Oh.
And we all got dosed. And nobody ended up in the hospital, but we all ended up very, very ill, physically ill. And then we also ended up with hallucinations that did not stop right away the way you would. Mm-hmm. You know, we were people who were taking things like LSD and stuff and psilocybin mushrooms and peyote cactus. This was something very different, very ugly, and very hellish. So just a word to the wise, don't try it. I wouldn't have tried it. It was given to me under the guise of being something else.
Yeah, and it is important to note that, so all parts of the plant contain these tropines. The seeds especially do. And if you ingest enough of the seeds, they will kill you. You will see these used in works for confusion, intranquility, and damnation works. I will also tell you that if you are thinking that you're just going to open up the seed pods and take the seeds out and grind them up, and you think you're going to protect yourself by wearing gloves, your gloves are not going to stop what is in these seed pods.
Mm-hmm.
The thorn apple seed pod is spiky enough, it will go through pretty much any glove you can glove yourself with. And that would be up to and including Kevlar. The tropines that are in them will cheerfully go right through your skin. So moving on from stramonium, I'm also going to mention.
Can I jump in here,
yeah,
though?
Absolutely.
Because it's hallucinogenic, there were Native Americans who tried to make lessened toxicity versions of this to try to cream off the hallucinogenic properties. And I remember reading an anthropological survey of somebody about their former use of Datura, and this old medicine man was being interviewed by an anthropologist and asked, why don't you use it anymore? And he said, it's too dangerous. People died. We use whiskey now instead.
Mm.
Which is not that great for Native Americans either. But the idea that even the medicine men of the time who used Datura knew it was very dangerous.
Yeah. And, Datura Inoxia, Moonflower, you will still see preparations of this. Usually these will be called like Toa Loche, used in coercive love magic, domination and control. But again, you have the same risk of toxicity. You're still dealing with, the similar types of compounds. Moonflower seed pods may be a little less spiky and a little safer to handle, sort of. But these are not plants to treat with casualness or thinking it's like, oh, well, it's a plant. What can it do? Fuck around and find out. last but not least, I would be remiss if I did not mention Brugmansia, Angel's Trumpet, also known as a tree datura. You'll find that oftentimes as an ornamental. I mean, all of these you'll find as ornamentals throughout the Americas. Brugmansia has maybe a somewhat less dire reputation than stramonium does, which is a pretty low bar. Some claim it can be used for revelatory dream work or works for confusion and coercion, of course. But in many cases, they may be talking about being in proximity to the Brugmansia, as opposed to, say, ingesting it. And that is something to note. These plants are so strong that you can actually find ways to use them that don't involve necessarily physically grinding up the seeds or the roots and putting it into your work. You may simply take a poppet and leave it under the Brugmansia, for example, because you want them to be confused and out of sorts and not quite connected to reality. You can do that. So moving on from the notable Naturas and Brugmansias, I wanted to say a couple words about mandrake, and specifically to illustrate the point that we should be aware that sometimes completely different plants may be known by the same common name, but their toxicity profiles may vary, even if they're being used for some of the same sorts of things. So specifically, I draw your attention to European mandrake, Mandragora officinalis, definitely a nightshade. And it shares a lot of the same tropines with anticholinergic effects as other European solanaceous species, so belladonna, henbane, and the like. Now, here in the Americas, we have what sometimes called American mandrake or mayapple, but that is not a nightshade. It is a different species entirely. It is Podophyllum palatatum, so it's a member of the barberry family, but it is used in some of the same ways that European mandrake is, which is namely using it to make poppets for love, especially. That said, some of the things that it does not share with the European mandrake are that instead of containing anticholinergics, it contains podophyllins, which are actually a mixture of compounds, which instead of being hallucinogenic or delirium-inducing, tend to have what we would call emetic, so they cause vomiting, laxative, or convulsant effects. There's even a chemotherapeutic agent that's been developed from podophyllin called etoposide, which is used to treat cancer.
Hold on. I just have to jump in at this point. Those of you listening to this show, we do need to explain that Lukianus is a pharmacist. And now, no, for real. Okay. Now,
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Round of applause. Yay. He's a pharmacist.
You're starting to hear people click. You're going to hear clicks audible.
Okay. Onward and upward, to be honest. Okay.
Yeah. But I did want to mention that for American mandrake, mayapple, it can also cause some topical toxicity as well as by ingestion. So if you're using it, handle it with respect. Yes, you can still make your love poppet out of it. Just wear gloves while you're handling it, and your hands will thank you later. Another example of plants that have the same common name but are, in fact, two different plants and sometimes two different uses as well, devil's shoestrings. So devil's shoestrings, viburnum species, very commonly used to create boundaries, used for protection. They can be used in combination with, say, High John the Conqueror to make a hand wash in whiskey for gambling luck and personal power. Generally, the viburnum species are considered non-toxic, so we don't usually put any warnings with that. However, there is another plant, which is also commonly known as devil's shoestrings. Doesn't look anything like the viburnum. And another common name for it is goat rue, and this is Tephorsia virginiana. That plant, which is, you know, maybe a 2-foot flowering plant, pretty flower, it contains rotenone and tefrosin, and extracts of that plant have been used as a fish poison. So completely different set of uses from the viburnum devil's shoestring. And to make things even more complicated with common names, there is yet another entirely different plant that is also known as goat's rue, but is Galega officinalis. And that does have some use magically in terms of works and preparations for increasing stamina or breaking bad habits, overcoming laziness. But it's also known for its hypoglycemic effects, It's also used to rid the body of parasites or worms, and it's also used in increasing lactation. So more medicinal than toxic. But again, all of these common names can be mixed together. So unless you know what plant you're looking at, look for a Latin binomial if you can possibly find it, because the Latin binomial will tell you what it is, whereas the common name may or may not.
Can I just throw in something about double shoestring here? The double shoestring that I was taught to use is the more toxic one. And it's used to stab into the ground to protect the ground. And we think about that for a moment. Rotenone would certainly be a great use of that. It literally would kill nematodes in the ground or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to work with in bulk when you have 25 pounds of it or 50 pounds of it in front of you. Just breathing the dust that comes off of it is irritating to the skin, and you do have to wash yourself afterwards. It is not something to be played with. The use of it in whiskey, you're supposed to take seven little small pieces and tie them up and put them in whiskey. But it's, again, it's a strong drug. Anyway, just saying.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's the Tephrosia species.
Yes, yes. All right, so switching gears, wanted to talk a little bit about the lucky legumes, which I know Miss Kat has covered extensively in her new Urban Root Magic, and also has a website that goes into extensive detail about what I'll call a general class of poisonous red beans. You find these throughout the Americas, not just North America, but Central and South America as well. They're more often used in amulets. So they might be, you know, something like rosary beans. So you can also see them made into necklaces. Another species is known as jumbi bean. Yet another species is known as coral tree. There are probably, you know, 8 to 10, you know, different species of these invariably poisonous red beans. Many of them contain DMT or DMT adjacent compounds, but most often you'll come across them in things that may be carried or handled or in amulet form, but they won't necessarily be ingested. And for the most part, most of them are considered to be lucky in some way or another.
Yeah, I want to say a couple of things about these because these are one of my favorites. So Abrus precatorius, the rosary bean, is used in weighing out gold in India, where I think it was originally native. And because unlike other beans or peas, where the size of the bean or pea changes in the pod, you know, as it, you know, little ones, and then they get bigger, and then they get littler. Abrus precatorius, they're all the same size all the way. And not only are they all the same size, they're all the same size from tree to tree. So they were used for weighing out gold, and which is kind of interesting. You know, that's just a thing about them. But they are toxic, and eating them will kill little children. And they are used to make jewelry. And sometimes you'll see them used to make anti-evil eye jewelry. And they'll be made as a necklace for little children. It's not a good thing. The Ormosia species are known as Huayruru. And those are native to the upper Amazon, Bolivia, Peru, and then down the Amazon. There are many, many species. A woman named Velva Rudd wrote a book called the Ormosia species. And it's like this whole book on them. They were mostly used for jewelry, but they were also used for teething necklaces for babies. God knows what they were doing to their babies with those. The oddity about these red beans is that they are always considered lucky. And you'll find amulets with different species of Armosias in them, sometimes entirely red, sometimes red and black. And you can actually tell, if you have Velva Rudd's book, where the Armosias were picked that were used to make the amulets, because they all have very defined watershed and bioregions.
Hmm. Wow.
Okay.
Very cool. All right.
Can I just say, the Abrus Precatorius is also used in a lot of protection magic. It's sort of interesting that they are associated with luck, but in Central America, South America in particular, they're often put in protection jars as well, which is sort of fascinating. Because of, you know, they have that ladybug connection, or they look like little ladybugs. They're actually quite pretty. I think they're also called, if I'm not mistaken, rosary beans, if I'm not mistaken.
Because people make rosaries out of them. Yeah.
Right. But they have this fantastic protective quality to them. And so if you ever go to a folk magic shop or any of these sort of supply shops, you'll actually find little medicine bottles, little jars that have them in them. And sometimes they're used for luck, but a lot of times those jars are meant to be buried or hidden in the home as a protection jar.
Well, they will cause hallucinations if you take too much, but the window between hallucinations and death by suppression of your respiration is a very small window, so don't play around with that one.
We would call that a narrow therapeutic window.
Correct. Yeah, right.
Well, just to run through a few other not uncommonly encountered and potentially toxic plants in hoodoo practice. Mistletoe. So this is our friend Viscum alba. Can be used to dispel evil, also known for its use in love works. Usually you'll find it used in combination with other things. You may see a combination with wahoo, rue, or oak bark to keep away evil. There's a European formula for true love powder, which involves combining mistletoe, elecampane, and verbena. Mistletoe itself contains viscotoxins. So these can result in slowed heart rate and delirium if ingested. So with mistletoe, again, would not recommend ingesting it or using it as a personal care product, but you can certainly use it to dress candles, to use in powders that are deployed around the home, and similar types of works. Floor washes, not a problem.
I want to say one more thing about mistletoe. Mm-hmm. So how did mistletoe get into true love powder is a question that I always wondered about. And, of course, I found out that it was a very sacred plant to the Druids. And it has these berries in the middle of winter that are white and sort of weird. And it's sort of gummy, and it sticks to plants. And then the seeds, to trees, I should say, and the seeds sprout into the plant, the tree, and they become a parasite or, grab onto the tree. Mm-hmm. And so this was considered ungodly or unnatural or uncanny. And this plant has a real reputation for this idea of putting things together and sticking them together. And that's why mistletoe has the Latin name viscum. It's viscous, it's gooey, it's gummy. Elecampane, we don't know what plant was originally intended, but what most people call elecampane is called plowman, spikenard, or elecampane. It's very sweet smelling, very nice. And, verbena has a great reputation for love. So there you go. True love powder, but be careful with the mistletoe.
Yep.
Don't eat it.
Definitely not. Well, we'd be remiss if we did not also mention the Ipomoea species. So this is the morning glory family, sometimes called bindweed. And that also contains one of our very famous hoodoo roots, namely Hijon the Conqueror. And at least one species, Ipomoea purga, jalap root, is also known as Hijon the Conqueror. But it is a plant which was actually in commerce back in the 1800s as a laxative. Mm-hmm. It contains convolulin. And so again, not not good for ingestion, but certainly it has extensive use for external use. And, you know, certainly its use in mojo hands, you know, soaking it in oil and then using the oil to dress candles or, you know, as part of hair dressings. Yeah, High John the Conqueror has been used in just about everything and still is. Other members of the family, so your more conventional morning glory, its seeds, of course, are famous. They contain ergine, and they can cause delirium and confusion if ingested. If you ingest too many of them, that could result in convulsions and death. Smaller amounts have been used by folks for, you know, seeking other states of consciousness, and, you know, fairly infamous or famous usage at this point in that way.
Also, I want to add that European scammony is another one, and it was also prescribed as a laxative medically in the 19th century.
Yep, it also contains some of those same convolvulin components. Yeah. So, and should also mention one of the more toxic members of the mint family, namely pennyroyal. So that's Mentha pulgium. Extensive use in jinx breaking, especially if the jinx was laid using personal concerns, can be used in works to keep away evil, as well as promoting tranquility in the home. It contains pulegone, which in large overdose amounts of the essential oil is going to be toxic to the liver. Overdose on the essential oil has also been associated with dizziness, lethargy, which, you know, depression of the central nervous system, nausea, vomiting, all the fun things. And extracts of pennyroyal have also been used in both topical insecticides. So it was used to treat infestations of lice or fleas, and was used internally as a tea for suppressed menses. And that's going back to Dioscorides in ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm. Can we just have a moment here? What is suppressed menses? Because we probably should talk about it. We're dealing with people who have no idea what you're saying. And I, because of time, that's a very old phrase. Can we just get to it?
It's an old phrase and it's a code phrase. You may also hear it as delayed menses. You mm-hmm. may also hear about it to bring on suppressed menstruation. Mm-hmm. You may also hear the more formal term of amenagogue. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's to bring on menstrual flow if a period has been missed.
And that is presumably to cause an early stage miscarriage.
Indeed, it could.
And nobody Indeed wants to could. Talk about that because that would be against the law. So,
well, I will give you three more herbs in that category: black cohosh, blue mm-hmm. cohosh, and wild carrot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of those were referred to as women's herbs.
Yep.
And, you know, if you look at some of the older hoodoo root doctors, like Dr. E.P. Reed, I did a whole webpage on him, and you can find it. There's a picture of him with his black cohosh. And I even found ads that he ran in newspapers, you know, the best remedies for delayed menses. So he knew what he was doing.
And now you know the reason why it shows up in peaceful home mixtures. Tell you that.
Yeah, right.
And actually, culinary parsley can also be used to promote uterine contractions. So, again, just because it's an herb that's growing in your garden, sometimes there may be many reasons for that. I also wanted to, and I know that Conjurman Ali had drawn attention to this, the plant rue. So that's Ruta graveolens. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because it's considered to be both a poison. It's can be a skin irritant to some folks, as well as being an anti-poison. But also it's one of these where it may be more toxic to pets, specifically cats,
yes,
than it may be to humans. And that is another thing to keep in mind with working with plants in hoodoo,
yeah.
Especially if you have pets or small children. If your pets are of the type where they investigate the world by putting it in their mouths and trying to see if it's edible, there are going to be some plants that you probably shouldn't have growing around your house if that's the case. Yeah. If your pets are smarter than that, then that's another story. But you really do need to know how smart your pets are and how well acquainted they are with the larger natural world. Rue, apart from its, you know, toxic or antitoxic, it is very commonly used in cleansing works, uncrossing and reversing work, and also in love work, specifically for breaking crossed love conditions.
Yep.
I should also mention that it is one of these plants that does contain photosensitizing components. So if you know that your skin is sensitive to such things, be a little careful if you're going to be coming in contact with rue.
Yeah, so rue is also a citrus, which goes with that photosensitizing. And in fact, what used to be known as the citrus family is now called the Rutaceae. So they named it after rue. So it has all of the things in it that lemons and oranges and bergamot and so forth have. But it's very concentrated.
Rue is my go-to in love uncrossing work. That's like, it's every love uncrossing work involves some element of rue in it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's such a good herb for those types of works.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, we're getting to the end. We're getting to the end of your list of plants. And it's so, we had a whole other section that you were going to discuss. And maybe we can get to it at the end of the show on how to work with toxic and poisonous plants. But I'd like to say one thing that was not mentioned here, which is the poppy family.
The
poppy family, of course, includes poppies and a bunch of others, celandine and so forth. These are cough suppressants in medicine, and which is great, you know, but they also then suppress breathing completely and you die.
And individual tolerance can vary greatly depending on prior exposure.
Yes, and exactly. And they also can cause, when we're talking about magic, if you give someone some of these, even poppy seeds, which are, you know, innocuous because they have a very hard little shell, but if you give them poppy seeds, they can test positive for opiates on their drug test.
That's right.
And so there is a spell that I've used in which you will take a little doll of the person, crush the poppy seeds to kind of open them up, stuff the doll completely with poppy seeds, and a little piece of paper that you write on, I am a drug addict, and you hang it around their neck like it's a badge of shame. You put the doll upside down into some whiskey, or you can put it into, you know, some sort of cough suppressant like NyQuil. And if you, you know, you don't want to be messing with heavier stuff. And then that will be a way to get them fired by failing their drug test. Just saying.
Miss Cat knows her work. Yes, she does.
Okay. So another thing you could do with that whiskey after you've soaked the poppy seeds in it, is just take a little spoonful of that and put it in their whiskey. But, you know, that's messing around with people medically when maybe you want to just only mess magically. But the poppies are also used for confusing people, and they can be used to court case spells to cause a person to misplace their paperwork and not show up in time for court or anything like that. Poppy has a lot of negative effects upon the time senses and the way that you organize your mind. So just a thing to think about. And we did not mention alcohol, which
That's
is
right.
made from grain. And grain is very innocuous and lovely. But alcohol can be used to extract any of these plants to make an extract or tincture. And alcohol can be used in itself to do harm to people who have the tendency or the genetic weakness toward alcoholism. and you can put their little doll into alcohol. And you can also put some of these negative herbs, like John the Conqueror, in alcohol and feed it to someone to give them stomach upset or laxative upset when they drink.
Interestingly enough, alcohol, the word itself is alqul, right, from the Arabic, which refers to the method of making makeup and whatnot. But there's a theory Al-Kindi gives that alcohol is related to al-ghul, which means the demon, which is why it's a type of poison.
Well, it certainly can be, if deployed correctly.
Yeah. So we've really touched on so many things here. And for those,
so many things we have not touched on as
yes,
well.
There's
definitely calls for a part two.
Yeah. There's a lot more here, because talking about spells with toxic plants, the tendency is that they are mostly negative spells. They are coercive at the best and binding, or deadly at the worst. And remember that anything can be toxic to somebody. There are people who are allergic to rose prickle, you know, getting a rose thorn in you. And they'll have a terrible allergic reaction, especially if there's any loose flying fungus on that rose thorn. But it's been known that people have, in the past, before there were antibiotics, actually lost limbs because they got stuck by a rose, and their skin got worse, and then they got some sort of an infection. So these are things that we always have to be aware of when dealing with the natural world. I'm not saying that this happens to everybody, and it certainly happens very little now that we have ways of cleaning ourselves and using antibiotic ointments. So don't think that any herb is 100% safe. Even the generally safe mint family does have pennyroyal. And even the generally safe rose family can hurt people who are allergic to roses. All right. This was wonderful, Lukianos, and we'll come back with a part two, I think. What do you all think? Say yes in the chat, huh?
Fantastic.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line ran entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to take our today's client, and we have our client in the chat with us today, and they are coming from Belgium. It is Eva. Eva, are you with us?
According to Shiva, it says our client will be taken from our form today if she cannot get into our backstage.
Not a problem at all. So Eva has not had any readings with Miss Cat or Conjure Man, but it looks like this situation, they did have a reading back on January 29th, 2023, an email reading with Miss Aida, and Eva writes, I had a reading in January 2023 with Miss Aida. She told me that my husband has a hitchhiker on him, a malevolent deceased entity that has quite a bit of control of him. We think I somehow brought the entity home with me after a graveyard visit. The entity has control of him with abnormally strong powers. Ms. Aida called it a hitchhiker. I can't find any information about hitchhikers on the Lucky Mojo form. I am well protected, so it latched on my husband and stayed with him. Because of my husband has negative energies, he empowered the negative entity
and made it even stronger. This entity has caused stress, lots and lots and lots of confusion in my household, anger, arguments, upset problems, sleeping, and carrying a lot of unnecessary burdens. These hitchhiker entities fed on all of this negativity. She was asking, what can I do to get rid of the entity? We live in Belgium, and it would have to be done with an experienced conjure woman or man, try to contact conjure man for a while, but hadn't been able to connect. Is it worth doing the job, or the entity too strong? And lastly, will we find happiness again in our marriage? Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Well, Eva, who in the forum goes by the name Sarda, there's a lot to unpack here. And normally I would do a reading at this time, but I think because you also did try to contact Contraman, that Contraman and I will discuss this. And then Lukianos will give you spell work. Is that agreeable to all three of you?
Mm-hmm,
sure. Or all three of us?
sure.
So I want to talk about the concept of hitchhikers and why hitchhikers as hitchhiking entities are not mentioned at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And I know that Eva is from Belgium. The Lucky Mojo Forum is based around African-American hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, and root work. And that concept of hitchhiker entities is a late 20th and early 21st century concept that grew up in the white New Age community. It does not have a part or parcel of hoodoo at all. There also were other names for this back then, walk-in entities and so forth. So Miss Aida is an eclectic practitioner, and I'm not saying that hitchhikers do not exist or that she was wrong, but what I am saying is that not every practitioner you meet, Gleevin endorsed that concept as realistic or actual in their spirituality. I believe it's more likely that an ancestor would be connected to a person than just a hitchhiker entity. However, I have seen it happen, but I wouldn't use the name hitchhiker. I've seen it happen where someone went to a grave, gave an inappropriate offering to a dead spirit that was rejected, and the spirit protested. They grabbed some of the graveyard dirt to take home and work with, and that graveyard dirt then caused chaos in the house. I've seen it happen. Even with one of my students. But that's number one. Number two is this entity so strong that no work should be done? I don't believe that any entity or any kind of negativity is so strong you should not attempt to do work. So I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman. Let's just back this back and forth.
Yeah, I think Ms. Kat is right. First, the word hitchhiker is more of a description than like the you know, even if you don't see like the actual word hitchhiker in the Lucky Mojo Forum, you are going to find quite a bit about parasitic spirits, vampiric spirits, hags, other entities that can get attached to a people.
That's right.
And in conjured, they do exist. And as Ms. Kat Riley pointed out, it's not always like a stranger. More often than not, it's a familial spirit or an ancestor or whatnot. But they do certainly exist. We don't use that term. But the concept of an entity, I mean, there's a reason why we're told in many of the regional conjured traditions that when you come home from the graveyard, to take a different route home.
That's
or
right.
To cross water, right? The idea is so that nothing comes back with you. And, you know, while we were reading about your situation, I did pull some cards just to confirm, not that we don't trust Ms. Aida, but just to see if there's something going on here, you know, what can we actually do? And the very first card was that Knight of Swords, and the Knight of Swords is that entity, right? This is an aggressive, abrasive, fast entity, a powerful force that is oppressive and dangerous and quick and has been able to come in and disrupt. This is a very clear sign of a disruptive influence and an influence that is, by its very nature, deeply, deeply chaotic. I mean, the image of the Knight of Swords is this person who's just rushing forth with absolutely no care in the world at breakneck speed. They have their sword raised. They're ferocious in face. They may end up even cutting themselves or they'll cut someone, but they are very clearly charging into battle. And this, of course, has a deep impact on you. The Ten of Wands is represented in the present, an indication of a person who's carrying a very heavy burden and a burden that they are carrying for a long period of time. They're looking into the far off, and it doesn't look like there's an immediate relief unless some type of intervention is done in order to remove that particular burden, take those wands off of, or those staves off of this person's shoulder. And the final card here indicates that you can do this. The final card is the Queen of Swords. It's interesting that the Knight of Swords is facing one direction and the Queen of Swords is facing another direction. This represents some type of working that is done. This is a powerful woman sitting on her throne, completely in her authority. The storm clouds behind her are stormy. They are dark. They are chaotic, but this is a person who can weather it all. She has experienced difficult experiences. This does not, however, promise that you will have even once the entity is removed, that you will have immediate relief at the emotional level with your partner. Some damage has been done. There's an element of you know, we call this actual queen the wounded queen. There's an element here that indicates that the actual repairing of the relationship will take much longer than the removal of the entity. You have the ability to remove the entity. And based off of these two swords, I'm going to hint at Lukianus, who will know this working much better, some working with air, incense, etc., to help remove this entity will be crucial as the first step. But once that's done, then work needs to be done to repair the relationship. This is the queen that is beckoning her lover back to her. So yeah, overall, this does confirm what Miss Aida says and what Miss Kat has already picked up on. There is an entity there. It's chaotic, it's ferocious, it's dangerous. You can remove this entity with the proper working around air, but then you need to transition towards repairing the relationship.
All right. I'm going to throw in a little bit here, too, because we still have some time before Lukianus gives the spell work. I'd like to say that in dealing with you as a person, Eva, you've been anxious, and you try to get into the show and call a number that we don't use anymore and at a different time on a different day or something. And we know that you're in Belgium, but I'd like you as a person to take a few deep breaths and realize that we are here to help. Just relax a little bit, and we're going to do the best we can. The first card I have here is the Five of Pentacles, and the Five of Pentacles shows two people walking through the snow dressed in rags, on crutches, with a bandage around the head. That you and your husband are traveling this road together. And it's a road of a chronic illness. And it's a road of depths of mental stress that most people don't have. So I feel like you need to perhaps also see some other form of therapy besides just magic, because this card is about people who are not getting the help they need. They're wandering in the snow, and they really do need a bit more help. It might be that something medical could be done, something social, and certainly staying away from the idea of only relying on spiritual matters, because this is a card of social problems, as I interpret it. And then the next card I have is a card that also says that, this is sort of interesting, similar to what Conjurman had in a way. This is the Nine of Wands, and it shows a man with a bandage on his head. Again, there is real trauma. Something has happened. And he had a fence of poles or palisade fence, and he felt threatened, and he pulled up one of the poles to defend himself. And now he's like very wary and like on defense, but now he has a hole in his fence. And that says to me that your protection is not there. Something was let in, and now there's this feeling of terror and fright and trying to deal with it. But you need to repair your protection, because otherwise these sorts of things will happen again. And how to prepare your protection, I hope we will get to, but we are going to talk about somewhat taking some of this away. And the third card is, wow, okay. The third card is called the Devil. And the Devil is a card of two people, a man and a woman, who have chains around their necks, and their chains go to a ring, and the ring is in the rock, and there's a devil sitting on the rock. The devil is not holding their chains. They are loosely chained. They could actually lift these chains off. The devil has one hand holding a torch to set the man's tail on fire. He has a tail like a little animal. And with the other hand, he's blessing the woman with the symbol of Saturn, which is limitation. And she has a little tail with grapes on it, representing a desire for family or security. You have been caught by something. There is an entity, but there's something about this that says you can lift up the chains and walk away. If you were to do a thorough cleansing, and it will take time because this thing will keep coming back, thorough cleansing, thorough protection, maybe repetitiously, it could be made to go away. It's a very difficult situation. I don't see that this is a hitchhiker type entity, but it could be a ancestral entity. It could be a hag. It could be a incubus or succubus. Something is going wrong. Here it is shown as the Devil, but that doesn't necessarily mean the devil of Christianity is after you. Something bad is there. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Lukianus, and we'll get a reading.
Okay. Well, while we've been talking,
excuse me, and you're going to do the root work. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I have been throwing Obi mm-hmm. while you've been talking, and I guess there are four major things that are jumping out at me. So the first is that both you and your husband need to be doing some ancestor work. You need your ancestors to be in as good and elevated a condition as you can possibly make them, because they are going to provide a well of spiritual strength to deal with this muerto, which is giving you grief. And I'm just going to refer to it as a muerto. I suspect there may be an ancestral connection, but you know that is not the important thing. The important thing is that it is causing chaos in your life, and it needs to stop. So, I do not know what your spiritual practices are or are not, but I would say that if you do have an ancestral practice, offerings of light in the form of candles, offerings of refreshment in the forms of water, and offerings of prayer. So verbal, you know, prayer, and also silent prayer, but verbal prayer is also important for your ancestors' elevations. And that's both your ancestors and your husband's ancestors. Both of them need to be on board. I would specifically say to make a special attention to the mothers, to the maternal lines for both you and for your husband. If you know that there are foods that they liked in life, you can certainly make offerings of foods to them. If you know where their graves are and can visit them and, you know, give them offerings of flowers at the gravesite, that would also be appropriate. But even if not, set aside a place, you know, in the home, make it elevated, keep it clean, make sure that there is a fresh glass of clean water on it at all times, give it candles periodically, make space for them, bring them in, enlist their help. From a point of view of working with air, as Conjurman Ali highlighted, I would say fumigation with frankincense resin, culinary sage. Since you're in Belgium, I do not recommend sourcing white sage. That is not native to your biome. Use what is native to your biome. These things need to be uplifting, clarifying. So you don't want anything that is sporific or sickly sweet. You want things that are clarifying, lavender, peppermint, frankincense, sage, all of these things which are going to be clarifying and uplifting. Likewise, do not underestimate the power of peppermint tea internally. So drink peppermint tea. You can add peppermint to your bath. You can use peppermint soaps. All of these are very good for cleansing the remnants of death or the dead away from you. It's a trick that I actually got from a hospice worker of my acquaintance. And she would be working with the dead and the dying all day long in the hospital, but she would always have packets of peppermint tea with her. And she would always have peppermint soap. So incorporate these into your day-to-day routine, into your daily self-care, and that will tend to reduce the ability of the muerto to affect you and to stick by you, because it's not going to like the peppermint. So use that to your advantage. Likewise, Florida water. You can add some Florida water to a bowl of water and just allow that scent to be near the ancestor altar. It is very uplifting. You want to be bringing in joy. You want to be bringing in happiness and things that are going to cut through the negativity and make it so the negativity has no place to land and no place to stay. Nature abhors a vacuum. It's not enough to just get rid of it. You need to backfill with something else, something positive that is going to be uplifting and bring vitality to your life.
I'm going to jump in here because she's yes. in Belgium. Florida mm-hmm. water is a brand of cologne. And if you can't get Florida water and you're in Europe, you can always use 4711 cologne.
Yep. Colonia water works just as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Last but not least, pay attention to the spirits of the land that you're on. There's an indication that there may be some influence from the spirits of the land. And if that's the case, that will need to be addressed as well. But start with your ancestors. That is your foundation, regardless of where you are.
Okay. Wow.
That's fantastic.
That was really good looking.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And here is what we have coming up this week on the LMC Radio Network. Tuesday, the Crystal Silence League, Inner Secrets of Silent Influence, the Astral Tube. On Tuesday, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, Ask a Witch number 13. Wednesday, The Now You Know Show, Dream Interpretation and Bloodroot. Thursday, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, overview of the tarot. And on Sunday, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour will be with yours truly as the guest, Papa Newt, on Confused. Lukianos.
Okay. is it time for the free spell?
That's it. It is time. Free spell time.
Okay. Free spell time. Well, I'm going to give you a method of working for when that time comes when you need to drive someone away for good. And I will say that I have used this method, and it works. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to obtain a personal concern of the person. And it, even better, if it's related to something that is a drug of choice or abuse for them, it could be the butt of a cigarette that they smoked. It could be a can or bottle of an alcoholic drink that they consumed. It could be a vial or packet from an illicit substance that they consumed, or even a coffee cup that they have used. And you're going to want to wear nitrile or latex gloves while you're doing this. But with your gloves on, you are going to pack the personal concern into an appropriately sized container. It could be a plastic takeout container. It could be a jar or anything similar. And you're going to include a generous amount of strong red or cayenne pepper, black pepper. You're going to include some salt that you have instructed to block their path back. You're going to include some crushed poppy seeds, and if you happen to have any other noxious herbs or materia, you should include that as well. So, yeah, if you got some thorn apple pods, yeah, just throw them in there. They'll be fine. You're going to take the packed container to a place of disposal, preferably one that's kind of far away from your home and in a place where you don't usually go. You're going to command the assemblage, "In the name of so-and-so, be gone and don't come back." And while you're doing that, you are going to hurl it either into the middle of a crossroads while you're speeding away. You can hurl it over the wall of a cemetery that you don't visit, or you can hurl it over the side of a bridge into fast-moving water. And if you do that, make sure you have a hole cut in the container so that it just gradually sinks as it flows down the river. You're going to go home by a different way. And when you get back, you are immediately going to cleanse your hands well with a lemon-based soap and water. And you're going to follow that up with a cleansing bath in the light of a white candle, preferably with some rue or some hyssop, while you're reciting Psalm 51. "Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean," and so on and so forth. So yes, you're going to work clean. But you're also going to make a clean break. So do the practical stuff, delete them from your phone, block them, and don't bring their name up again, and they will not come back.
All right. I'm going to give some ideas of how to use toxic plants in this and unpleasant plants. If you're going to be making such a packet, what was listed here was red pepper, black pepper, and poppy seeds, and any other noxious herbs. I have found that you can use blackberry leaves, which are very thorny. Don't use roses. They're thorny, but not the same way. You could also use anything that that person has a habit with, such as alcohol or tobacco. Tobacco put into that packet or bottle or jar would work very, very well. And you can also throw it onto a railroad train. If you like, you can stand on a railroad bridge. You don't get caught. And throw a bottle or jar onto a passing open
freight train. Or a coal train if you happen to be in that part of the country. Coal train. Yeah. Headed out of town. You got
right.
it.
Exactly. But don't throw it onto where people could get hurt.
Yeah, and don't try throwing it onto a passenger train. That's not going to
work. That's not nice. I've also been told when I was young to throw such containers off of a freeway overpass. But, you know, again, now in the days we have a lot of security cameras. So we'll just have to, you know, tone that down a little bit. Flooding them down the river will work. And again, there are many things you could put into this. Wormwood and mugwort would be good to add to it. Pennyroyal. All of the plants that were mentioned here that were toxic would be useful to use other than the red beans, which are generally toxic, but lucky. So we don't want to be using them. So datura, if you know where you can get some datura, it grows around wild all over the West. Jimson weed. Any of those could be used to add, and you could put this all together to make quite a concoction. and that person would be really driven away. It's a great way to work. Do you have anything to add to this, Conjurman?
No, I love, can I just say I love anything that involves train tracks? Once you mentioned train tracks, I was like, yep, this is me. This is exactly what I would do. But this is a fantastic work. We'll be honest, we must have you back for a part two of talking about these type of plants and specifically how to work with them, because I mean, introducing people was great, but like moving on to the practical, I think is going to be a huge service to this community.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I mean, the things that I would recommend to people who want to start working with these plants is start by learning about them and grow them. Mm-hmm. Learn their cycles, learn what they like and what they don't like, learn, you know, what their place in the larger ecosystem is, and they will teach you how to work with them. They really will.
We didn't even mention Senna.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Another member of the pea family that's toxic laxative in overdose. You can use either the leaves or the seeds. They used to say that that the leaves were for children's laxative and the seeds were for adult laxative.
I suspect they both work just fine.
Yeah, but one is stronger than the other.
Senna is available at any drugstore.
Yeah,
it's another one that causes bowel movement, isn't it? Senna.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. That yeah. It is a stimulant laxative, as we would call it.
Yeah. So the senna can also be added. It used to be used, and you could buy it powdered. And the colloquial name for it was runout powders, because it'll give you watery diarrhea. And so it kind of runs out. But run-out powders were also used to throw at people or to put around them to make them run out of town. Mm-hmm. And people would joke, oh, yeah, I gave him a run-out powder. And they don't mean that they dosed him with a laxative. They meant they did some work on him to make him.
They put it on his doorstep. Yes, they mm-hmm. did.
Right. So that's another one. And again, the pea family is filled with these not-so-nice peas. We all think of, you know, the lucky black-eyed peas, but there's some seriously bad peas. And we also think of the Solanaceae as being all bad, but remember the lovely tomato and
tomatoes, potatoes, eggplants.
Right.
You could make an entire diet out of nothing but nightshades.
Right. And the John the Conqueror and those laxative morning glory families give us the sweet potato, which is a very lovely plant. So there's good members and toxic members of every family. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman. And thank you, Lukianos of Lukianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be yours truly, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, bringing you the topic on confusion magic. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman at conjurmanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radio show. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Papa Newt. We're still getting the hang of the controls at this new YouTube channel. We want to thank everybody for coming out for the show. It's really nice of you to be here. This show will be outfitted with video enhancements and will be reposted later. And if you want to donate to help us with this YouTube project, we're doing one show a day now. We would like to go to more, get them done faster. We have so many good old shows. We're combing through the forum and changing the URLs as we upload them to YouTube. You're going to find in the forum when Blog Talk Radio goes away on January 31st, you're going to find URLs that do not work. And we need volunteers to help with that too. So we have a webpage where you can donate to help us pay for the work that's being done, because it has to be paid for. And someone will post it right here in the chat.
No doubt.
Good night, all.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.